Okay, we're starting, our today's daf is daf ayin, we're starting at Samach Terem Abed at the Mishnah. Shamim para v'chamor v'chol davar shu oseh v'ochel l'mechtze. Okay, if you remember, we had this whole issue about if you take someone's property to invest, you take someone's money or items to invest in them. So here you take someone's para and chamor, you evaluate what the cost is, you give them to someone to fatten them up and make them worth more. So, and any, now what's the difference between this and other things? What did we say? Generally, if you do that, part of it's going to be considered a pikadon, and part of it will be considered a malveh, because you're each, why is it part? Because remember the concept. If the person who gave, the investor, is assuming responsibility, then it's a pikadon. Then he basically gives you his pikadon if something happens, so you don't return it. That's a pikadon. That's okay then to get paid for it, right? That he gets paid for you. If you give it back with more money, the investor gets back more money. That's okay because it's not a loan. But the part that the person he invested with is taking responsibility for, anytime that you get money from someone or an object and accept responsibility for it while you have it, that's a loan. That's basically what a loan is, because you say, I'll give you back this 100 shekel no matter what happens to it. You take 100 shekel and the next day you get robbed, you still have to pay the guy back 100 shekel. So that means you're assuming full responsibility. So since in an investment case, both are assuming partial responsibility, and we assume that because otherwise you wouldn't have the investment. No one's willing to accept full responsibility in general. Therefore, it's part investment, part loan. On the part that's a loan, we're going to have a problem. If you're going to pay him, if you're going to pay the investor back extra money, or in this case, it's not even that, because you could say the investor is getting his extra money on his pikadon part. However, what he is getting is the service that you're taking care of the animal or taking care of whatever investment it might be, and therefore he's getting a free service, and that free service is ribi. So therefore, in this case, what did we say yesterday in the Mishnah? Therefore, the person who's getting the investment to deal with, I can't think of what you would call him, the...
Investee.
I don't know if there's such a word. Okay. So, anyway, the person who gets the money to deal with the investment, he has to get paid some sort of salary, and we talked about it could range from, as long as he eats a little bit of your food, to he has to get some sort of a base minimum salary. But what if it's a parar chamor that he gets, that he's investing in, right? You've given him your parar chamor to deal with. And anything that's like that, which is what? Shuoseva ochel. It can work for you. That animal can do all sorts of things for you. So therefore, the person who got the parar, the chamor, is getting a benefit. He doesn't therefore need to get wages. Okay, so oseva ochel, therefore lemechze. You can do that to split 50-50 the proceeds. Makom shenagu lachloket havladot miyad, chokin. We saw this yesterday, that if you get someone's para, okay, we'll explain a little better than yesterday now. Someone gives you their para to watch. The assumption is if that para has children, has offspring, then has calves, then you're responsible for those vladot for the very beginning. Okay, that's assuming that's implicit in the agreement, that you're responsible if they have offspring for a little while. And we talked about it was 3 weeks, 30 days, 50 days, depending on which kind of animal, how much time you're supposed to be taking care of that animal. So now, the assumption is what happens after that. So, makom shenagu lachloket havladot miyad. Now, miyad doesn't mean miyad when it's born. It means miyad after that basic interim time. Chokin, so then you have to split the vladot right then. Makom shenagu legadel yagdilu. But if it's a place, I'll explain in a minute. What you have to do is the vladot are part of... You assess the value of the vladot. So let's say it's 10. So you get 5 and you get 5. Obviously, we don't split a vlad in half. But yes.
About how much it's worth, and you split the amount of that.
Exactly. You have to split... This is considered part of the fruits of your investment. So it's going to be split 50-50. But if it's a makom shenagula gadel, where the roe is supposed to, where it's a place where people generally not only do it for the first 30 days or whatever it might be, but until they actually get older, then you have to keep working on it until then. Now, what's the issue? The issue is, number one, The ROAS says, oh, I don't want this responsibility. That wasn't part of our agreement. So the question is, until what point is it part of their agreement? So it depends on if it's a makom shenagu lachlok or a makom shenagu legadel. But the more so, there's another issue, which is that once we say the time has passed and we're supposed to evaluate and split it, let's say we didn't do that, okay? Or even if we did, and let's say it stayed in the hands of the ro'eh, so then what happens? Then let's say there were 10, okay? So now...
It was worth 10.
Let's say there were 10 offspring. Let's just make it easy, okay? And you split 5 go to you and 5 go to you. Okay, now, at that point... Okay, the ro'eh has 5, and the investor has 5. But the ro'eh keeps them all. At this point, if he continues to deal with the 5 of the investors, then what happens? He's going to now get proceeds. You know, it's going to be 2.5, 2.5. Obviously, again, you're not going to split the animal. We're talking about the value. But at that point, the ro'eh is going to get 75% of the proceeds because he gets his 50% and then 50% of the... of the investors. So that's why it's important to know at what point does that start clicking in, because at that point if he continues to deal with the animal, it's like a new esek. It's not no longer connected with the old one. Okay, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shamin Egel Imimo, V'siach Imimo, we saw this yesterday, that if you already are paying money, a salary, you're getting wages to deal with to deal with the mother, then obviously, but what he's saying is, this is, again, a minimum salary he holds. He's like the opinions like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you're already paying money as some sort of wages because he's dealing with the para, the ro'eh, so then once the egel is born, he doesn't get this extra salary we saw for little ones where have to carry them and it's an extra wage. No, it's included in the wages for the mother. U'mafriz al sadehu ve'eino choshesh mishum ribit. You can inflate the rent on a field, and you don't have to worry about ribit. We're going to talk about what this is right now in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. So the Gemara quotes a braita about this. Mafriz al sadeh uveino choshesh mishum ribit. Ketzad. How does this work? Hasocher et hasadeh mechavero ba'asara kurin chitim l'shana. Somebody rents out their field to a sharecropper type person, and he says, just bring me 10 kurim of chitim a year, and you can use the field and get everything else. V'omir lo, now the sharecropper says to him, Tain li matayim zuz, v'aparnasena, give me 200 more zuz to invest in this field. I will invest it in the field. V'ani alelecha shnei masar kurim l'shana. Mutar. This is allowed. What does he say? If you give me more money to invest in the field, I'll pay you 12 kurim of chitim a year instead of the 10. Now, you might say, this is ribit, because he's getting 200 zuz, and he's giving back more money now, 2 more kurim's worth of wheat, right? A kur is a measurement. But it's not a problem, because he's basically saying, if you invest more in the field, the field will grow more, will generate more income, and therefore I'll pay you more. So that's allowed. Aval, ein mafriz lo chanut v'lo asfina. But you can't do this if the guy is renting your store or he's renting your boat, and you can't say, give me 200 zuz to invest in, what's the assumption that you're investing in? You're going to invest in buying more stuff for the store, or, you know, the sfina was also for trade. The investment is going toward produce or other things that you sell, whatever it might be, and not toward the store or the sfina itself. And therefore, you can't combine these in this way, because then it looks like, on the one hand, you know, there's one deal of renting the store, the space, and then there's another deal, which is you're giving him matayim zuz, you're loaning him money so he can invest in the stuff he's selling in the store, and then he's going to pay you money. That becomes a rent with a loan with interest. However, not everyone's going to agree. I'm Rav Nachman. I'm a Rav Ravua. Pamim shemafriz al chanut latzur batzura. Sfina lasod la iskaraya. Right, exactly.
In the physical thing itself.
Exactly. So he says sometimes people, right, it could be you're investing, you're giving him more money to actually make the store look nicer, to design the store better. The sfina, to put up a sale, you know, or to make the sale look nicer, to attract more business. Chanut latzur batzurata, right? Why are you going to make these nice tzurot in your chanut? It's avu beinche, so that people will see and they'll want to come to your store. V'havi igritve, right? And there'll be more business. Sfina lasal iskaraya, kigon de shapira iskaraya, tve, right? To make it look nicer. And therefore, igra, how do you read this? Igra tve.
The rent is reasonably higher.
Right. So then igra tve. So then the rent can be higher. Okay. So in both these cases, you can raise the rent if it's to invest in the actual item itself that you're renting, but not if it's the store to invest in the produce. Svinta, Amarav. Now we're going to say another thing about a svina once we're on boats. Agra upagra. Okay, what does this mean? This means you can pay rent and you can also pay for damages. Okay? So now, Amru le Rav Kahana ve Rav Asi le Rav. Rav Kahana ve Rav Asi say to Rav, what are you talking about? I agra lo pagra. I pagra lo agra. Okay, it's a good line to remember. If you're going to pay rent, then you don't have to pay for damages. And if you do pay for damages, that's going to be viewed as interest, right? It's an extra payment. Because what is rent? Rent is that the person who owns it is assuming responsibility for damages. That's your typical, right? Only a shoel, if you think about Dinei Shomrim, only a shoel is responsible for damages. So therefore, they question, they say, generally we say either you're going to pay for rent and then you don't have to pay for damages, or you're going to have to pay for damages and not for rent. Shatik Rav. Rav didn't know what to answer. Okay? So, now, there's a bit of a question that the Mefarshim have with this, because they say, really, a Shomer could, in theory, take upon responsibility for Onsim, and why is the Gemara assuming that it can't be? Okay, so it could be that maybe the Gemara, at this point, really thinks you can't do that, even though you can. Or you could say that there's one difference, which is, again, I think the question is a better question than the answer is given, but it could be that there's a minor difference, which is a shoel, when he assumes responsibility if the animal dies, let's say, he pays the value of the animal right before the time of its death. He doesn't assume responsibility for the animal at the time that he borrowed it. He only assumes responsibility as he's locked into the price. He's not locked into the original price. Whereas this, we're saying, it's someone who takes responsibility for damages, right, based on the original price. So if something were to happen to the boat, when he took the boat, right, it's like you rent a car. Right, if you're
responsible for dinging it.
Right. Like you might be, you're going to be responsible if you damage the car. So that's what it's saying.
But that's an onsim.
Right. So let's, right. What if it crashes? You're responsible if it total crash, right? Like sometimes you have to take collision insurance. It's extra, right, to prevent you from having to pay if something would happen to the car. Right. So that's really what it's getting at, these kind of things. If you rent a car, are you responsible if there's a crash and the car is totaled? Okay, so would you be responsible or not? So Rav didn't know what to answer when he said that. So in other words, Rav said you can take both, and then they questioned him, and then he didn't know what to say. I'm Rav Shesha. My time is Shatik Rav. Why was Rav quiet? Lo Shmiel Hadatanya. He could have answered with this braita. This, by the way, is going to be the next mishnah we're going to see on Ayin Amabet today. Even though they say, okay, this is a braita, but they're referring to the mishnah. Even though in the mishnah it says that you can't take tzon barzel to Israel. Okay, what is tzon barzel? We've seen this with the woman. She brings a nichsei tzon barzel. What's tzon barzel? It's something that remains stable, right? It's like sheep that are iron sheep, right? They don't change in value. What does that mean? It means you give it to someone to invest, and that person says, I will return you exactly this value, right? I'm assuming full responsibility. Remember what we keep saying. If the person who you invest with assumes full responsibility, that's viewed as a loan. So therefore, you can't take tzon barzel l'Yisrael and say you can get, right, I'm going to get 50-50 on my investment, because anything you get back on your investment is going to be ribi. Okay, here's the important part now for that. That's what it says in the Mishnah, by the way. But here's the Braita that's quoting that and saying, even though we say that, and here's the important part for our purposes. Aval amru, Hasham para l'chaveiro va'amar lo, hare paratcha asuya alai b'shloshim dinar, v'ani ele l'chasela b'chodesh, mutar l'fi shelo asa adamim. If you evaluate a para and say, listen, your para is going to, I rent your para, and I say, your para is going to, I'm going to assume responsibility of 30 dinarim if the para dies, and I'm going to give you a sela per chodesh, it's mutar. Okay? Lafisha las adamim, we'll explain that term in 1 minute because it's not so clear. It sounds like, because you didn't put a value on it, but you did put a value. You said it was shloshim dinar, so we'll see in a minute. But what do you see from here? Agra, right? It's agra upagra. He pays rent and he assumes damages for onsim. So first the Gemara questions, Amar of Shesha, lo asad, I'm sorry, lepisha lo asadami, velo asah, right? What do you mean, velo asah, right? Lepisha lo asadami. You didn't make it damim, you did. You said it's going to be alash, loshim dinarim. Amar of Shesha, lo asadami mechayim elalachar mita. What's happening here? You're not assuming full responsibility for all damages. You're only assuming, this is what we were talking about the car, you're assuming collision. I'll accept damages if the car is totally gone, right? If the para dies. But you didn't accept a value if the para goes down in value. In other words, obviously what's going to happen? You're going to return the para for whatever value it's at the time, even if, you know, the para goes down in value or depreciates, right? And therefore, you can pay rent, right, if you're not accepting the damages. So there's different levels of damages, and as long as you're not assuming 100% damages, then it's not viewed as a loan, because a loan is where you assume 100% damages, any depreciation, anything. Amra Papa, Hilchata Sfina Agra Upagra. Okay, so he says the halacha is, with a boat, you can both rent it out for money and assume damages. V'nagu b'nei Kufra. And the people in Kufra, right, these are, right, they're B'nai Kufra because there's a Timotam B'Zefet. This is something they're called, like, the people who have boats. They would do Agra B'Shat Mashicha. They would take rent, right, people would pay them rent. This actually disagrees with the sugi we saw before, Ein Skirut Alele Basof, and you only pay the rent money at the end. They would take the rent at the beginning, B'Shat Mashicha, when the guy took the boat, to rent it, and pagra b'shat shvira. And then, if it was if it would break, then they would demand damages also. So now they say, atub ben hagatalya milta. They thought that Rav Papa said the halach is like this because the b'nei kufra nahagula asoke. So they say, what? Because of the minhag, that's why you did it? No. I'm Rav Anan, I'm Rav Shmuel. I skipped it. Mishum de matnita tanya minhaga. That's because of the braita, they did the minhag. And that's why, right? And Rav Papa obviously went based on this braita. And as it becomes Rav Papa said it, based on the braita, therefore they were nohig this way. Okay, it was explained in the improper order. Am Rav Anan Am Shmuel. Ma'ot shel yitomim mutar lahavotam beribit. Okay, oh, this is like a huge chiddush. Okay? Even though it's asur midoraita to take interest, if you have yitomim, right, we always look out for the best interest of the yitomim, and certainly, right, what's the problem here? The yitomim's money, if we keep using it, right, it's going to disappear. So therefore, ma'ot shel yitomim, you can rent them out biribit. I don't understand. Just because they're your Torah, we're going to go against an explicit halacha midoraita that you can't take rebid? How could that possibly be? Yat me da'achlu lav didhu. Right, one second. Lizlu batar shavkai. Right. So, what's going to happen if they eat rebid? What do we keep saying about rebid? What's going to happen if you eat rebid? If you, right, they call it eat rebid. If you take interest, you're going to die, remember? So, yat me da'achlu de'lav didhu. So these yitomim are going to eat stuff that's not theirs because they're going to take interest. Lizlu batar shivkayu, they're going to basically go down to their graves. Okay? That doesn't make any sense. So, Amar li, eima li izi gufa de'uv de'hechi havi. Tell me really, Izu is like really. Tell me really, what was this case that you, based on this, you said that the yitomim could take interest? Obviously, you misunderstood something. Amarle, hahu dude de b'nei mar ukva, de have b'nei mar Shmuel. There was this dude, okay, what's a dude? It's a huge pot made of nechoshet, right? Nechoshet is, I was confused, copper? Copper. I was confused with copper and bronze. Okay, it was made of copper that was owned by the sons of Mar Ukva, who, right, Mar Ukva had died, and it sat in Shmuel's house. Takil v'yavle, takil v'shakile. Shakil agar v'shakil pachta. Okay, Shmuel was basically renting this out to people. And he would take rent, and he would take depreciation. So what do you see? If he's not assuming any loss for their item, right, and this was Shmuel, okay, so you see that he was basically collecting interest from them. I agra lo pachta, vi pachta lo agra. Right, so amar le, ki ha, that's not a good proof. afilo b'diknane, I forget how you pronounce it, b'diknane, which means a dalet and zayin switch in Aramaic. It's bizkena. Even if they were older, these Yerushalmim, and they weren't young, and they could fend for themselves, even if they were older, nami shari l'me'abad, it would still be allowed for them to do this. Why? This is a unique case. Daha mekavle alayu chuscha d'nachsha. Dekol d'mekale nachsha b'tzir d'meha. Everybody knows that nechoshet, every time you boil it up, it's a pot, it's going to be boiled all the time. Every time you boil it, the nechoshet is going to wear away. And you're basically depreciating the value. So therefore, it's implicit in any rental contract for nechoshet that if you're using the nechoshet to boil up with fire, basically you're going to have to pay both. Okay, so it doesn't mean that you can apply this to any other situation. This is a unique situation with nechoshet. Amar Rav Chisda, and again, nechoshet that you're burning up. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chisda, Va'amar La Amar Rabba Bar Yosef Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshet. Okay, so either Rabba, okay, somebody said this. Ma'ot shel yitomim mutar lahavotam karov l'sachar v'rachok lefsid. So what we tried to say a few minutes ago, that you can basically, yitom can take ribit. No, they can't take ribit midoraita. There's no way you can do that. But what can they do? They can take an investment that's, they can, you can take their money, give it to someone to invest in a way that the person you're giving it to is accepting full responsibility for any loss, and the yatomim are not responsible for losses, okay? It's basically where they can only, a safe investment, where they can only stand to gain, basically. Okay, we saw this before where it was usher to do this, but when it comes to yatomim, it's mutar. Now, why is this? Because since it's an investment, why is this, right? This is not ribit d'oraita, because ribit d'oraita is ribit k'tzutza, where you say, I'm giving you this money and I'm getting this back. In this case, it's an investment. You don't know what you're going to get back. But normally we say it's not allowed because you might potentially get back ribit, and it'll be considered as ribit because you're not assuming any loss. But, because the guy you're investing with is assuming all responsibility. But, so in a regular case, it's avak ribit. For yatomim, we're going to be mekel on them and allow this avak ribit, which is only d'rabbanan. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Karov, now we're going to have all different possibilities. Karov l'sachar v'rachok l'hefseid rasha. Okay, forgetting about yatomim, in a regular case, if you do this, you invest with someone and you do a karov l'sachar v'rachok l'hefseid, that's a rasha, because that's a vakri beat. Karov l'hefseid v'rachok l'sachar chasid. Okay, if you give her money and you assume all the responsibility and the other guy assumes not, right, very little, yeah, that's a nice guy. Okay, maybe not so smart, but karov l'zeh v'lazeh rachok mizeh umizeh zoi midat kol adam. Okay, that's right, if you're basically going to say,
the norm.
Right, that's the norm, where everyone accepts equal responsibility. Amar le Rabba le Rav Yosef, Hanu zuze de yatme, hechi avdina lehu. Rabba says to Rav Yosef, what do you do with zuzim of yatomim? Okay, so, you know, I want to know. What do you do with them? Amar le, Rav Yosef says, motvina lehu beidina, I give them to the beidin, they're responsible for it. V'yahavina lehu zuza zuza, and the beidin gives them money on an as-need basis. Amar le, Rabba says to him, wait a minute. V'hakal yakarna, but then you're going to basically, eventually, you're going to use up all the money. Amar le, so he says to him, well, mar hechi avid, what do you do? Okay? Amar le, batkina gavra de'it le dava pricha. I find a person who has pieces of gold, v'naktina dava mine. Okay, now there's a few different interpretations of this. Okay, I'll go with the one that I read first because it makes more sense to me. You take gold from him, v'yavina le'niale karov l'sachar v'rachok l'hefseid. That's what happens. The yatomim get the gold. The investor gets the money. You take all the yatomim's money and you put it into gold. Okay, gold, what we're going to see soon, the gold is not misuyam. It's not identifiable. Okay, which is going to be important here, why it's important to not be identifiable. It's also, obviously, you find someone who's wealthy enough who has gold, right, who has gold on hand. So you find someone who's wealthy enough that they're not going to be concerned about doing an investment where they take full risk. Okay, so that's basically what we're going to say. And then he uses their money, karov l'sachar v'rachok l'hefseid, and he invests it in a way that, you know, that he's going to take, who's going to assume all the losses, and it's most likely that, you know, and they're going to get all the gains. Aval davar, okay, there's another interpretation which basically means that he gives them the gold for the money, and then they give him the gold back to invest the gold or something. But that it didn't make as much sense to me. Anyway, aval davar mesuyam lo, Dilma Picado Ninhu. What are we worried about? If they give him something very specific where it's identifiable, Va'ate Mariyav Simonin Vishakile. We're worried that, let's say, you're the rich guy, you give me, I'm the Atomium, you give me some object of yours, but it turns out it wasn't really your object. It was a Picadon that someone else had given to you. And the Atomium take it, thinking they have a guarantee from this guy. And somebody walks into their house and says, hey, that's mine. Where'd you get it from? And you say, I got it from this guy. And they say, oh, that was mine that I left in his house. And they take it, and the Atomium were left with nothing. Therefore, you have to protect them by giving them something that no one's going to go claim. No one can start claiming, oh, that's my piece of gold, because gold is not identifiable. That's the way the Mefreshim explain. I'm Rav Ashi. So now, that's what Rabba suggests. That's what I do. I'm Rav Ashi. Well, this is very nice, but Tinach im shakach gavra di ledava pricha. As if you could find a guy who's got gold pieces in his house. But ilo mishtacha gavra di ledava pricha. Nechlu zuze diachme. So then you're just going to use up all the zuzim of the Yatom. They're going to be left with nothing. El Amravashi Chazina Gavra de Mishapu Nichse Umeheman. You find someone who's got enough money and he's a believable guy, Bishama Dina Doraita, and he keeps to the dinim of the Torah, Velomakabel Shamta de Rabbana, and the rabbis never put an idoy in him for not listening to their words. And you give it to him in front of Beitin, okay? And then, according to Rashi, he says, and then the Beitin makes him agree to this Karov Le. Sachar v'rachok lehefsed. Okay, new Mishnah. Ein mekablim tzom barzel miYisrael mipnei shehu ribit. We just learned this already, right? That you can't take an investment. You can't do an investment where all the responsibility is going to be on the person you're investing with. Mipnei shehu ribit. Because that's basically considered like a loan. Okay? Because if he assumes all responsibility, again, remember, that's like a loan. Aval mekablim tzom barzel mina akum, but you can take it from a non-Jew. You can invest in this way. Velovim mehem umelavino tam beribit, and you can borrow from them and loan to them with interest. Okay, this is huge, which it appears in the Torah, but we're going to see it's not so clear cut. Okay, we'll see later in the daf. Vechem beger toshav, someone who keeps sheva mitzvot b'nei noach, you can also. Malve Yisrael ma'otav shel akum midat akum, aval lo midat Yisrael. Okay, here's another thing that's allowed. If an akum gives you money to borrow, you can lend it out to another Jew and demand interest from the Jew only midat ha'akum, only if the akum tells you to do it. He wants you to give the money to someone else to get interest on it. He wants you to give his money, but not because you decide, I want to do this. So it's the akum's money. I can give it to someone else. Okay? So, Gemara starts out. L'meimra. So now if we talk about the tzom barzel, what is the assumption from this? De berishuta de mekabel kaima. Right? It sounds like if you take tzom barzel, right? You get an investment from someone. The investor gives you something. You assume full responsibility. What does it sound like? If you assume full responsibility, it's as if it's in your reshut, right? That's like a loan. You get 100 shekel. You return 100 shekel. You don't return that same 100 shekel. That 100 shekel becomes yours 100%. You just have an IOU that you owe this guy. Same thing with Nichzei Tzom Barzel. They give you an item. So the assumption is that item right now is yours if you accepted full responsibility for the value of it. And at some point, you have to return to him the value of the item or the item itself. But at that point, it's in your reshut. Now, that's going to contradict another source. Or minhu, ha-mekabel Tzom Barzel min anochrim, Vladot pturim in abechora. If you accept tzom barzel from nochrim, and let's say it's an animal, it's chayav in din bechor, your vladot, the vladot that are born from those animals, are pater from bechora, which means you don't have to give the bechor to the kohen, which means what? It's not yours. Why is it pater from din bechor? Because it belongs to an akum. But if it's tzom barzel and you're accepting full responsibility, it should be considered in your ownership, not just for the purposes that we're going to view this as a loan, but for the purposes of other halachot like din b'chor. So how could that be? So Amar Baye lo kasha ha de makabala le onse vizola ha de lo makabala le onse vizola. If you accept upon yourself the ones and both case of onsim and if it goes down in price, so then we're going to say that it's fully yours. But if you don't accept upon yourself the onus and the zol, then it won't be fully yours and you're chayv and b'chor. Now, obviously, there's a major problem. This doesn't make any sense because then that's not tzom barzel, which is what Rava's going to say. Amar le Rava, ida kabbalah le amara onse v'zola, tzom barzel karit lehu? Oh, I'm sorry. I said it the opposite way. Mekabla le'onsa v'zola means that the original investor accepted upon himself the responsibility. Either which way, it means the same thing, right? In other words, so therefore they're going to say, if the original investor accepted ones v'zola, right, the depreciation of value, son barzel karet lu, how could you possibly call that son barzel? That's exactly not what son barzel is. V'od adetane seifa, from the fact that the Mishnah says, avam kablim son barzel mina'akum, it tells you which way it's allowed and which way it's not allowed. It should have, we've seen this many times before, lif lug bedide, it should have specified within the Mishnah itself. Bamed vary mamuim de lo kabalele on sevizola. Aval kabal mara on sevizola shapir dame. Right? You should have said, eme kabalim son barzel mi Yisrael, in the case where he was lo makabalele on sevizola. But if he was makabalele on sevizola, it's okay. So it doesn't say that. It doesn't make any sense to say what you're saying about it. So ela amarava, Idi b'idi dilo kabalele mara onsa v'zola, where the owner, original owner, the investor, didn't accept onsa v'zola, because that's really tzom barzel. V'gabe b'chorod, hainu tam devlado p'turim ena b'chora, what's the reason why v'lado to p'turim? It's for a different reason. Why is this? Kevan, because what might happen in this case? Di'i lo yahiv zuze, what if, in the end, what's supposed to happen? The nochri gives you this nechse tzom barzel. Now, what are you supposed to return? The value of it at the end. Ilo yahiv zuze, right? If you don't give him the value, what's going to happen? Ate nochri tafas le behema, right? The nochri is going to say, well, then give me my animal back. The ilo mishkach le behema, what if he doesn't find the animal? Let's say the animal died or he just can't find it at the time. What will he do? Tafas lehu levlado. He'll take the vlad because the vlad also belongs to him because it came from the animal. Therefore, this vlad, even though you've accepted full responsibility, and in theory you just have to give damim, and it really is yours, for the issue of, right, and as we're mixing apples and oranges, for the issue of, is this viewed as a halva'ah, and, you know, is there an interest issue, it's viewed as it's entirely in your rishut. However, since in theory the nochri could, it could be a situation where the nochri will eventually take this vlad. If you don't give him money and you can't find the behema itself, he might take this vlad. Therefore, havile yad nochri be'emtza, v'chol yad nochri be'emtza, patra min ha'bechora. The nochri has certain rights to this animal, basically. In theory, he could demand the animal in place of the payment, and therefore, it's patra from bechora. Okay? Because it has some sort of ownership of a nochri on it, or potential ownership. Okay, now we're going to quote a pasuk, and this is going to get to the issue of ribit l'nochrim, okay, to non-Jews, which is obviously became the central issue in the medieval time period because the Jews were all money lenders and they lent money on interest to non-Jews. They even lent interest to Jews. Okay, there were issues. There's an important rabbinic time. Maybe we'll get to it at some point about, you know, some sort of heter also for Jews. But this became a big issue about money lending for Jews, for non-Jews. Marbe hono b'neshach v'tarbit l'chonein dalim yekabtzenu. Someone who takes a lot of neshach and tarbit, okay, takes interest. All the money he collects from that, l'chonein dalim yekabtzenu. It will eventually be given to someone who's going to give it to other poor people. Okay, and you'll lose your money and it'll end up getting distributed to other people. My l'chonein dalim. How will, you know, what's exactly, what does this mean? Amarav Kigon Shavur Balka. We've seen this. He was this Persian king. Again, there's a few different explanations of Tim, but let's go with the fact that he was a Persian king. And he would collect all these taxes from the Jews and give them out to the poor non-Jews, basically. Okay, he would give them out to all these poor people. And now they're basically saying your money will end up going to support the poor non-Jews. And this is sort of the wealthy, you're going to pay heavy taxes, right, because they took all this money from lending to non-Jews, and their money in the end will just end up in non-Jewish hands anyway. Okay? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, which is interesting because it can be viewed in different ways, right? Most of the Freshmen explain this. We're talking about non-Jewish poor people because we're talking about the Shavur Malka. It's unclear whether this is negative or positive. In other words, in the end, your money is going to go to support poor people. And it's saying what you did is you took money away from poor. It's going to poor, except that it's not going to our poor and it's going to their poor. And, you know, on the other hand, it could be also saying if you take interest from non-Jews also, as it could be also against taking, there's a big machloket about how we view interest of non-Jews. Is it a mitzvah to take neshach, right? Because it says, v'la nochri tashich. Right? It says, and from him take. Some people think, the Rambam thinks the mitzvah. Okay, the Ramban and others totally disagree with him and say, no, it's not a mitzvah, and it's only allowed in certain circumstances, and it's definitely not a preferable, it's definitely not recommended. So it's very interesting to see that there's a whole machloket about it. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, lo nitzracha elada afilu ribit ovei kochavim. He says, this is coming to tell you, even if you take ribit from ovei kochavim, which is clearly looking negatively, right? Obviously the Rambam didn't go by this, right? That even ribit of ovei kochavim, you know, is going to end up in their hands. So etivei Rava la Rav Nachman, so he questions him, if it's talking about non-Jews, says, lanochri tashich. My tashich, lav tishoch, doesn't it mean you're supposed to take ribit from them? Lo tashich, it means you should pay them ribit. It means if you're going to borrow on interest from non-Jews, not to, right, it's from the lobez perspective. Lo sagi delav hachi, but I don't understand. Wouldn't we know this without it telling us this? Lafu ke achicha, delo achicha. How do we read this? Right, so the answer, lafuche achicha, right, delo. It's coming to teach you that only from the nochri tashich, you can only be a lova who pays ribit to a nochri, but you can't do it to achicha. So then they say, wait a minute, but achicha behedek hativvei, ula achicha lo tashich. Right? It already says that you don't need this pasuk l'anochri tashich coming to tell you, well, you can pay interest to a non-Jew, but not to a Jew, because it already says you can't l'achicha lo tashich. So you don't need this pasuk to tell you. So what are the answer? L'avor alav, ta'aseh v'lo ta'aseh. Okay, it comes to teach you that someone who gives ribit to Yisrael is over both on the mitzvah aseh of l'anochri tashich, only give it to him, and you didn't do that because you gave it to a Jew. And also over on the lo taseh of l'achicha lo tashich. If you remember when we started this, I gave a bit of an intro, and I said that when it comes to all these things, there's multiple psukim, and there's multiple ases and lo taseh that you're over on. So here we see about the lo ve and what he's responsible for. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow.